I'm Sabrina Petrofezza.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls.
I'm pretty excited for this one.
About what are, I mean, I've already done watch it, but we're talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season 4.
This one was an interesting one. It aired on ABC like every other season. ABC always plays it from September to May with mid-season finales and stuff. But yeah, I enjoyed season 4, except I think I mentioned it in season 3 how I missed like 4 or 5 episodes at the end of season 3. So I jumped straight to this episode and the first episode of this season.
Yeah, you definitely talked about this in the other Agents episode and I was like, "Wait, what? How did you do that?"
I don't know how I did it, but when I got to this episode, to this season, and they were talking about how like Chloe's not with the team anymore and so on and so forth, and I was so confused, and that was that moment when I realized, oh, there was a whole other like finale that I missed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Daisy had that whole thing where she's like on her own and she's tracking down the watchdogs, who are all about like basically, they're basically Nazis but within humans.
Mm-hmm.
And then she teams up with Ghost Rider.
Yeah, this season was weird because it was, I think, not the first time that it was very, like, the whole season was split into two very different, separate arcs. But I remember this one was the most jarring because I felt like Ghost Rider came out of nowhere. It was kind of weird. I liked him, but I felt like I wish he would have stuck around the whole season instead of just, like, half.
So, I'm of the camp that, like, he really didn't show up randomly.
Mm.
Like, it's just, he was introduced as a new character. Like,
yeah, I wish he would have stuck around.
I would say he was less random than, like, Mac. Like, we just popped into the season, and he was just there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, not that I don't love Mac and his, like, shotgun axe, but, like, we kind of built up to Ghost Rider in a way that we haven't built up to other characters that we know and love. And I don't understand the hate for Ghost Rider in this season.
Mm.
Like, he's way better than Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah, no, this is a ridiculously good Ghost Rider. I just wish he'd stuck around the whole, like, this was a whole Ghost Rider season instead of half a Ghost Rider season.
Also, yeah, okay, so there's the other thing where people are like, the first half of the season is all about Ghost Rider, the second half of the season has nothing to do with any of that. And I'm like, wait, what? Were we watching the same show?
What, you don't think the LMD arc had anything to do with...
No, I've, like, just seen people say that the two are completely separate.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Or that's how I felt.
No, I don't... They're not separate at all. Like, everything that is part of Ghost Rider's arc leads into the LMDs. The only reason that becomes a thing is because of the Darkhold that gets introduced in the first half of the season. Like, that's the thing that's connecting everything.
Yeah.
Like, Ghost Rider is connected to the Darkhold, and the Darkhold becomes connected to Ada, who read it.
Yeah.
And, like, the reason the whole second half of the season happens at all is because of the Darkhold.
Yeah.
So I don't understand when people are like, it's just not connected. I'm like, no, it is connected. It's just, like, different.
Yeah, it is. The plot did connect it, but the reason I felt it so separate was because it was so different. Because we were in this other kind of magical thing, and then suddenly we're in the Matrix. So that's why I thought it was jarring. I think they did do it with like breaks, because the Darkhold or the Ghost Rider plot ended December 6th, according to Wikipedia, and then they went into, that was the mid-season finale. So then the comeback was January 10th. So it wasn't like a week-to-week jump. It was what you would expect in a finale break. In a season break.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, 5 minutes in. I'm going to just try and really, really quickly summarize the whole season.
Okay.
Just because so much happened and I feel like we're just going to jump around. basically, season opens. Agent Coulson is no longer director. He is agent. The new director is an inhuman, but not really an inhuman. He was at the Sokovia, or at the UN when it blew up, because, like, Bucky was there, but not really Bucky, whatever, oh, yeah, whatever that guy's name was. And they were like, we need an inhuman to be the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. because it'll be really good for optics. So they, like, basically souped him up with super soldier serum. And then this whole Ghost Rider arc comes through. And basically, Coulson is trying to call his own shots, but also not be director at the same time. It really doesn't work for him. And he's also the new director has changed it from being, like, levels of security to colors of security, which make no sense. Because from what I could tell, it didn't even follow the, like, Roy G. Biv structure. So it wasn't like, you're level red, so you know more. It was like, no, you're level purple, so you know some things about level orange and some things about level green. And you're like, what is happening here? And like we said before, first half of the season is very much about Ghost Rider. Because he shows up and you're like, ooh, who's this guy? And this guy is basically got the devil in him. Like, actually, honest to God, has the devil in him. Yep. And is going off on a vendetta because of the guys who shot at him and his little brother and paralyzed his little brother. From, like, the waist down. Side note, love the little brother because of when I think Max started pushing his wheelchair and he was like, hey, like, lumberjack, nobody pushes this wheelchair except for me. And I was like, oh, I like you. I like you, kid. Yeah. Like, I liked him earlier than that, but I liked him then too. I was like, oh, this is a good kid.
He was a good kid.
Yeah, he's pretty great. So that's, like, first half of the season. Oh, he's, like, on this vendetta, but they also find out that, like, there are ghosts because Ghost Rider's uncle was involved in an experiment that involved the Darkhold to, like, create matter out of nothing.
Yeah.
So he wanted to become a god by creating matter out of nothing. But they also realize that they're not creating it out of nothing. He's pulling it from another dimension. And, like, so his uncle becomes, like, a complete madman. And then Ghost Rider has to get rid of him because it was his fault that they got shot in the first place. Because the people he was working with were like, hey, we're gonna kill him, so we're gonna get this hit out on him. But it happened that Ghost Rider and the little brother were in the car and not the uncle, so then they were the ones who got shot. And then this all ends with Ada, because throughout this whole thing, Fitz has been building a life model decoy.
Yep.
Which is just, like, a really, really smart robot.
Yep. Really, really realistic, too.
Yeah. He's been building it with Radcliffe. It was Radcliffe's idea. And she's the one who reads the Darkhold to be able to save Fitz and Coulson. And what is his name? I keep calling him Ghost Rider, but I don't remember. Well, he has a name.
Where did you go? I was just looking. Is it Robbie Reyes?
Yes. Oh, and Robbie, they're in, like, another weird hell dimension. And so she builds this arc to, like, pull them back. And then all of a sudden, oh, no, she's, like, a real girl. Except she's not really a real girl. Except she kind of is a real girl.
She has too much knowledge.
She has too much knowledge. And Radcliffe has been, like, by the Darkhold. So that's, like, basically first half of the season. Second half of the season is now Ada is slowly and slowly and slowly building more, like, intelligence and consciousness and knowledge. So she has sort of been manipulating the things around her to create the framework, which is basically the Matrix. And she starts killing people from a loophole in her coding or whatever. The whole second half of the season is just the framework and the building of the framework and life model decoys becoming a really big thing and, like, not being sure who's the life model decoy and who's a human and how is that going to work because, oh my God. And, like, basically that's the second half of the season. There's nothing else going on in the second half of the season other than Ada, who's, like, trying to build the framework, and Radcliffe, who's also trying to build the framework but is not doing so hot with making it.
Yeah. Most of it is just, like, kind of exploring, figuring out what it is, all the LMDs and who's human. And then everyone eventually gets plugged into the Matrix, and they have to deal with that alternate, that twisted alternate reality.
Which is Hydra 1.
Yeah, Agents of Hydra is... That's my favorite part of the season.
That was like four episodes.
But it was so good.
It was really good.
They all did such a very good job. That arc and this season was when, like, everyone knows I love Fitz. But it was this episode that was just like, I really love Fitz. Yeah. His actor did a very good job playing, like, dark, I can't say it, very dark Fitz.
Evil Nazi Leopold.
Fitz. Yes.
He was the doctor or something.
Yes. Yeah, they just call him the doctor.
Yeah, I really like those parts of the season. I feel like the first half of the season is like whatever, and you're kind of building up to this whole thing, and mm-hmm. Daisy's kind of like slowly coming back into the fold of the team, and everyone's still upset with her for leaving in the first place. And mm-hmm. you also realize that her overusing her powers like actually hurts her, which doesn't make sense to me, because before she was like absorbing it, and that's why she was hurting herself. So why is it now that exerting it is what's making her hurt herself again?
I think she's going too hard, and also since she left S.H.I.E.L.D., she's going on her little angst adventure. She doesn't have like her gear, because Gemma had to design her special gauntlets I think it's all through her hands. So Gemma designed her gauntlets to kind of like not ruin her arms, but she for some rather reason didn't take them with her, so that's why she's hurting herself again.
I mean, maybe she did take them with her, but then they broke.
Who knows? But yeah, she's injuring herself and her vigilanteism.
Yeah, but she's pretty badass. She's really badass this season. I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this season. I think it's a really fun season, but I feel like I understand why people would not like the first half of the season because of how slow it is and because it's kind of like, okay, what is happening? Like, just tell us.
Yeah. Also, by the time I got really interested in Ghost Rider, his little arc was over. And I was like, hey.
Yeah.
We never see Robbie again. And I'm really sad about that.
So, side note, I remember, because we were in class together, and we were talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and you weren't caught up. And I was like, ooh, you're not going to be happy about what's happening to May this season. Like, at all.
Oh, yeah.
She I remember telling you this. I remember telling you this very specifically. Like, we were just talking. I think I was like, yeah, I'm not that caught up on Elementary. And, like, you were. And I was like, but I'm super caught up on Agents. And you weren't. And, like, and I was like, ooh, you're not going to like what happened to May. Because Ada basically knocks her out mm-hmm. and, like, replaces her. And Radcliffe. Both of them do.
Yeah.
At this point, it's not, like, a separate thing. Yeah. And replace her with a LMD.
Again, this is like the second time we've had a not May running around.
Instead of actual May.
Yeah.
Except the other one was more... Not as deceptive. Like, everyone knew that she was running around. This one is like, no one knew.
Mm-hmm.
And like... She... Life Model Decoy May cracked open the sacred bottle of scotch with Coulson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though she also didn't know that she was an LMD. Still, that's awful. Which
I forgot about that LMD May's little tiny arc there.
Yeah, so also, do these LMDs have, like, bodily functions?
Assumedly no, because I know, like, Radcliffe is like, they have to be as human as possible, but isn't that, like...
Wouldn't LMD May know she wasn't human? Because she'd be like, I haven't gone to the bathroom in, like, 3 weeks.
I know.
And she's still consuming things, so there has to be a system there.
I assume there is. It's just, for my own ability to sleep at night, I need to know that Radcliffe didn't think that through.
Oh, but he did.
I don't want to think about him designing a digestive... doesn't even have to digest. Just like an LMD bathroom system.
Yeah, but still. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe the stomach is just like a holding center. And then they're like on a timer. Of just like, every hour and a half you have to go to the bathroom. Alright.
Okay, I don't know. Let's move on.
We're done here.
I didn't want that to be a super long conversation. I just was like, does he do it? I don't know. Maybe.
He would, because he really thinks about these things.
Yeah. I mean, like, I was really upset. I was like, you're telling me that wasn't May this entire time? But then, like, Ada sends in a lot of different LMDs mm-hmm. that are, like, Mac Coulson, the director, and Fitz.
Mm-hmm.
And they all know that they're LMDs, and May doesn't.
Does May know, or do they know May is fake?
Well, at this point, they do. It's, like, way later in the season.
Right.
And at this point, they do know that she's an LMD, because, like, May was still with Radcliffe and Ada.
Right.
But, like, it's so surreal, because Coulson is like, I feel no pain, nothing matters anymore. Like, the soul is eternal, and meh, 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 meh. And then May is there like, you're just not Coulson.
Mm-hmm.
Because that one was running on, like, not knowing she was an LMD.
Right.
And so, like, subconsciously not thinking about it and, like, not realizing and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so that's what leads to her blowing herself and LMD Coulson up. Which
right.
is pretty awesome, because LMD Coulson was like, I'm gonna, like, convinced her to sit in a room with bombs and wait for Daisy and Gemma to show up and then blow up the room.
Yeah.
But then, because she was still, like, mostly May,
mm-hmm.
and had no, like, brainwashy type programming in her, was like, nah, you guys go. I'll take care of the other guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was really, like, heartwarming.
Yeah, I remember I was, like, bizarrely emotional when LMD May sacrificed herself. I was like, wait. It's like watching May do this, but we all know it's not May, but she's doing it for, like, the same reasons May would. Yeah.
Yeah, especially when she was like, are you afraid to die? Because I am. And you're like, May would never. Because you were also kind of you could also kind of see, like, where it was diverging a bit, where LMD May was, like, becoming her own person, mm-hmm. separate of May.
Yeah.
Because definitely May's never had some sort of crisis of, like, identity in the same way.
Right. Because the idea is that, like, it's just a memory dump, right?
Well, the idea is they've mapped her entire brain and just put that entire brain into...
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, that's how she has the same kind of idea, general idea and emotions, right?
And memories and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, that happened...
Yeah.
But yeah, like, no, but, like, she was kind of veering off, so you were kind of seeing her as her own character.
Right, right. So, like,
especially when she says, I'm afraid to die, and you're like, ooh.
Right?
Because it's not really death.
But it is the end for the LMD, so they don't know what to do with what's going to happen to their consciousness.
Nothing.
I know.
Like, side note, there is a show on Netflix called Altered Carbon that kind of makes me think about this.
I heard about Altered Carbon.
Well, because it's about, like, basically, they, like, map your brain and just put you into different bodies.
Hmm.
Like, if your body dies, that you can, like, buy a new body or, like...
Oh, yeah.
Or get, like, a body that's not... There are, like, government bodies.
Right.
So, like, if your kid dies, which is awful, you can put the kid in the new body.
That sounds like Netflix sci-fi shows.
Yeah, but it's really cool because, like, they also talk about the concept of putting your brain in different bodies at the same time and how that's illegal. Oh. Like, yeah. It's illegal to split yourself like that. And right, so I was thinking about it in that way where I was like, oh, like, that's kind of what's happening here. Like,
mm-hmm.
you're starting to have different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So you're starting to become different people.
Right, right.
Even though you're technically the same person because the basis all starts from the same place. But the second you start, like, splitting yourself and having different experiences that are wildly, like, separate from what you are experiencing, then you become a different person.
Right. Oh, that's so weird.
This whole thing with the LMDs.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy? Weird. I do want to talk about Mac a lot.
Yeah, you texted me a while ago talking about how much you loved Mac this season.
So my favorite part of this season is literally anytime anyone says anything about robots and Mac just goes, did no one ever watch movies?
Yep.
No one ever watch any movies from the 80s. The robots always attack.
Yeah, this is by the book an 80s movie that, like, some of them knew a little bit of just, like, Radcliffe, you shouldn't be doing this. Radcliffe, this is getting kind of weird.
Well, no, because the only person who knew for the longest time was Fitz.
Yeah, and he was too curious.
I really want to appreciate the fact that Gemma walked in, saw Ada, clocked her immediately, and was like, oh, she's, like, beautiful, isn't she, to Fitz? And he was like, I guess. And then she's like, well, she's an android. Fitz, tell me you know she's an android. And he's like, I know she's an android. How do you know she's an android? But I love that she clocked her in, like, 2 seconds while I was like, that's an android.
Yep.
And I, like, clearly Gemma Fitzsimmons. Gemma Simmons is very intelligent. Yeah. And she's the only person through this entire series that consistently is like, Ada's not a person. Ada is a thing. Yeah. Ada's not a person. Ada is a thing. Stop calling her a she. Or it a she. It's not a she. It's an it.
Yeah.
Like, consistently has been the only person dehumanizing it. And everyone else has been like, her? She? Ada? Right. Person? I don't know.
Yeah.
And even when she's in the framework, she's, like, talking to the like, imaginary people and is like, oh, you're so lifelike. You have dreams. You drive a car. What the hell? You know? Yeah. She's the only person who keeps, like, the scientific hat on. Except when it comes to, like, the other people that she personally knows is not, like, they're outside in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. The, both of Fitzsimmons, because like you were talking about, I think last season, this was when you, when Gemma gets separated on the other planet, it's when you started thinking them separately as Fitzsimmons. This really showed that, like, after they had, they are together, they are still Fitzsimmons, but, like, this season is when you really see them as individual people more instead of just the team.
Isn't that crazy, though, that, like, the second they become, they enter the relationship, and then we're like, oh, but, like, they're different people, like, they're separate entities. Before the relationship, we were like, oh, they're, like, one unit. And then after the relationship, we're like, oh, no, they're, like, their own people, which I like, because then that doesn't involve, like, Gemma being masked by the relationship and, like, and you know, it doesn't, like, that's not the most important part of their story anymore. Like, that's fine in season one, because that was season one. You're introducing all the characters and you're learning to love them. But the longer it goes on, the more you're supposed to love the character and not, like, who they're in a relationship with.
Right. And that also makes their relationship work so much more now that they're more independent people. We also just, like, kissed Ghost Rider goodbye.
I know, I'm so sorry, but, like, it's fine.
Yeah.
He needed to be mentioned, but it's fine. Oh, actually, I kind of thought something was going to happen with him and Daisy, and then nothing happened, and I was kind of upset.
Okay, Coulson thought something was going to happen with him and Daisy, and nothing happened. It was a weird setup, because she is still obviously in mourning over Lincoln. That's half the reason she went vigilante. But, like, I also thought that,
that's,
like,
100% the reason she went vigilante. If Lincoln did not die, she would not have done that.
I don't know why I said part. But, yeah, I also thought, again, I just thought he was going to stick around more. We got 8 episodes of him, and he was really cool.
He was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was another thing, I think, that ABC, that I don't remember how I heard it, but it was around the fandom that he was also getting a special series on the ABC streaming thing, like Bobby and Hunter, and so maybe stupid. He did. I never actually followed up on that, but I heard that, like, Ghost Rider got a few more episodes, but we'll never know. I could Google it, but for now we'll never know.
I just think it's dumb.
It's really dumb.
Anyway, no, I want to go back to Mac, because I accidentally just pivoted back to Sky and there's Daisy instead of Mac. Yeah. Because a lot of what we learn about him is kind of also through Yo-Yo, because they're entering a new relationship. And I just wanted to side note back to Yo-Yo. My favorite episode of the season is actually, like, way in the beginning when the watchdogs basically cause all the blackouts, and Yo-Yo's with her friends, and she realizes that she no longer fits in with her friends because all of her friends from back home hate Inhumans.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an amazing episode. I thought it was in the last season, but it was actually in this season, so I was like waiting for it, and it came in like episode 3, and I was like, oh, great, cool. And I was really excited to watch it.
Yeah, because I guess if she's in Miami, then she hasn't officially joined the team yet.
Well, that's been part of the team. It's just that she's more of a ringer. Like, they bring her in when they need her instead of living on the base.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we learn a lot about Mac through Yo-Yo, and we especially learn through her about his past and about his ex-wife and dead daughter.
That was tragic.
That was so tragic. Finding out, because, like, Yo-Yo was, like, all ready to be, like, I'm not going to be the girl, the other girl. Like, I'm not going to be the other woman. Like, you can go off and sneak off with other women all you want, but that's not what's happening here. Yeah. So, like, I'm done. I'm done with this.
Yeah.
And he had to just, like, very dejectedly be, like, I didn't know how to tell you this. She's my ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like that. Yesterday was our daughter's birthday. She died when she was 8 days old. And she she was having a rough time. So I went to her to help her, because we're the only people who understand the pain of losing hope.
Right. Right.
And, like, it's just such, like, a hard scene to watch, because you're like, no, Mac, you don't deserve that. You deserve the whole world.
Yeah. Because the only other backstory we got with Mac last season was when he went to go visit his brother. And so now we're piecing out more of Mac's story, and you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah, which is, thank God.
It's so tragic.
Which makes him in the framework so much worse.
I cried so much. Because, the whole idea of the Matrix is it's this alternate reality. It's keyed into no regrets. They're all supposed to be just, like, blissfully happy.
Every single person who gets linked in to the framework, Ada takes away one major regret.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see whose major regret that was, and then how it changed reality for them. And Fitz's major regret in life messed up the whole, like, planet, pretty much.
Well, I think, actually, it all stems from May's major regret in life. Because May's major regret is Bahrain, and...
The kid that, caused Hydra?
So the way it got set up in the framework was that she didn't kill the little girl in Bahrain. Right. Remember, she was the one who had all the power in that situation, because she can just, like, touch people and they would do whatever she wanted. So in that, like, situation, she kills them. But in the framework, she doesn't kill the little girl.
Yeah.
She saves the little girl, then the little girl goes to school in Cambridge. Whether that's Cambridge, Massachusetts, or Cambridge, UK, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But Cambridge, I'm pretty sure the USA. I feel like if it happened in the UK, then it wouldn't matter so much to the US. Never mind. That was a stupid question. It definitely happened in Massachusetts. and she, like, caused mass destruction there.
Yes.
So Hydra took that opportunity to go all anti-inhuman.
Right.
Because of the kid. Because of the little girl.
Why did I think... I mean, Fitz's thing also had a large influence. Well, but I totally forgot that, no, you're right. Because also May was the first one plugged in. So, of course, her life would affect the rest of... Would affect it more than the others who got added
when,
later. Well,
when Fitz gets plugged in...
It's his dad.
It's his dad. And that just changes the course of his own personal life, which helps him thrive under Hydra.
Yeah.
But Fitz is the person who got messed with the most. I feel like while Fitz might a little bit regret not having, like, his father in his life, like, that's not his fault. Like, that's not a regret he would personally have, because it's not his fault his father left, you know? I feel like his regret would be something else and something stupid, like, or not something stupid, but I feel like it would be, like, not asking Gemma out on a date when we met in the academy, you know?
No, I feel like the father one was a pretty on-brand one, because even if it's not his fault, he still always will regret that he never had, like, a relationship with his dad.
It's, like, on-brand in a sense. Like, I get that like, people who, not that I have any experience with this, but, like, I get that in like a way that people who have like parents who leave them, that stays with them for a very long time, and that they like, they wish for that relationship with the parent, right?
Yeah.
But in a way, like, we know earlier in the season, like, Gemma says, like, he's had the opportunity to find him. He doesn't want to because that man is awful.
Oh, well, then maybe that would stem from, that would be his regret, is he never reached out.
I don't, but I also
either his dad never left or he never reached out.
I think Ada picked something that would affect Fitz's life in a way to create that monster.
That's fair.
Because in the framework, she basically writes him to fall in love with her.
Yeah, that was also weird that you realize, like, Ada had this bizarre crush on Fitz. Because, yeah. in the framework, they are together.
Which is so weird. And it's
so weird. Yeah, it's so weird.
Like that whole situation is happening, and like that's what makes me like believe that maybe that's not actually his regret. It's just Ada picking that.
Yeah, to that would make sense.
Prime him for that position.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely think that, like, if Fitz had the choice to create, like, undo something in his life, it would have been to ask Gemma Simmons out earlier in their relationship.
Yeah.
Or something else, like something other than that, because, you know, Fitz has had the opportunity the entire time he worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. to find his dad and do something about it.
Yeah.
And he chose not to.
He did, but he's also been a little busy.
Well, I mean, he wasn't always this busy.
Yeah.
There's usually some off time.
Yeah. But I'll maintain that I think it tracks both ways. Both theories track. But speaking of Mac and the framework, it was so heartbreaking is because his daughter survived. So we get to see, he's not a part of S.H.I.E.L.D. in any way. He's not an agent. He's just a dad with this, she's like eight. She's like 8 or 10. So like the idea is he's had years with his daughter that he didn't actually have years with. So that's what also makes it so sad, is because
because he doesn't want to leave.
No, he doesn't want to leave. But Daisy, Gemma, and Yo-Yo don't get caught, so they're not plugged in. They have to plug themselves in, and that's why they're the only ones.
Well, Yo-Yo who, like, doesn't plug in.
No, she doesn't
immediately. Yeah, Gemma and Daisy plug in, and Daisy finds herself in a relationship with none other than Grant Ward.
They really brought this actor back. I guess.
Listen, I don't care. So I know you don't. You have a little bit of beef with this. Like, I know in the last season I was like, I'm so glad he's gone. Like, thank you. Go away forever. But I have no beef with them bringing him back for this kind of role.
Yeah, I guess it also made sense because everyone expected it to be Lincoln, but we got Ward. Like, we got the throwest of backs.
Well, I actually really appreciated it being Ward because in a sense I feel like it gave me closure. Like real closure for the character by showing me the version of him I wanted him to become.
Yeah, because he was, it's so weird because he thrived under Hydra because he's always been Hydra, but he was also still like a good supportive boyfriend to Hydra Daisy.
Yeah. Oh, so like, what really broke me in these episodes was at some point, like, Ward was talking to Daisy and was like, just tell me one thing. When you leave, do I get my sky back? Like, because he just wanted his girlfriend back, and clearly the person in front of him looked like his girlfriend but was not his girlfriend. And, like, also, if the framework survived, like, clearly at the end of the season, the framework just dissolves and is gone forever. Yeah. But if the framework just kind of kept going and Ward got to live out his days with Sky, who seemed to be very much supportive of Hydra.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, would she have been in the would have been there for the shock of her life because May turned her inhuman during that week.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like they'd come out of it, and then all of a sudden, Sky would be like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So this, that would have been very interesting. Yeah.
This Hydra AU. So,
like,
AU. It kind
of broke me. I really liked seeing him being, like, genuinely an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and being the good guy. Because that's what I thought they were I thought I was going to get some not really Zuko-level redemption arc, but
yeah,
sort of a Zuko-level redemption arc in which he was able to bring himself back into the fold. So, seeing this kind of made me feel, like, closure to that whole thing where I got to actually see him be the good guy with no ulterior motive, because once you know and you watch season one again, you're just go, ugh.
Yeah.
Because you know. You know what's happening.
Yeah.
So there's, like, no goodness there. So, like, when you watch this episode, I can at least be like, there's goodness there.
Technically underneath it all and designed by Ada. Because that was the other thing I liked, is once Daisy and Gemma start kind of snapping people back of just, like, no, this isn't real, this is, you don't understand, and then they have to face off. Anyways, at one point, Ada is talking to them, and she's like, I should have known, because underneath it all, you can't really change who you are. And she calls, like, May is the fighter. So I don't remember who the other two were. And then she was like, and then Ward will always be a traitor. Because he ended up betraying Hydra for Sky. And I was like, I mean, it's somewhat twisted, but I thought her little breakdowns were interesting and pretty accurate.
Yeah, I mean, I am still just appreciative of seeing him be the traitor in the good way.
Right.
That's what I
liked.
But
she also, she also talked to Daisy, because I remember she was just like, I don't remember why, but they were interrogating Daisy, and she was like, do you want me to bring back Lincoln? I thought you wanted Ward, yeah. But, like, do you want me to bring back the other one? And she was like, no.
They used Mac to trap her.
Yeah.
And then that happened, and Ada literally was like, I'll bring back Lincoln. I'll let you live your whole lives in the framework. I'll bring him back. Just don't mess with the framework.
Yeah, just go away.
Just go away. And tell me where you are and stuff, or something like that.
Right, and because, like, while everyone is in the Matrix, pretty much, their physical bodies are still in the real world. So Ada is trying to hunt them down so she can take them out physically.
Because Gemma and Daisy are both, like, on a Quinjet.
Yeah.
That, some rando agents are flying, and Yo-Yo. So there's that. Yeah. Also, Piper.
Oh, I love Piper. I'm glad she got, I do I love she got Piper. Introduced here.
She's a rando side agent that I love.
Yeah, she's fun. But, that's also half the thing, is, like, because they're on a jet, that they're taking a ton of power to keep the keep them alive, yeah, and to keep them plugged into the framework.
So when we check back in with them, when we check back in with them, they're like, all bundled up because they had to turn the heating off.
Yep.
It's kind of funny. I felt bad, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah. So I did like how they balanced the framework versus what's going on in the real world, and just the constant reminder of, like, you kind of see bits and pieces of, mostly if it kind of affects Daisy, of the framework is seductive. Like, you kind of start, they really have to remind themselves that none of this is real. There are some things that are very jarring about it. They're like, of course this isn't real. Fitz isn't a Nazi doctor. But there are some things about it, just, like, they do have to remind themselves, like, that it's fake.
I feel like the only person who really was, like, seduced by it was Mac, though. Because Daisy the entire time is like, absolutely not. I'm not going to work for Hydra. This is stupid. No. And Gemma's like, my boyfriend here is a mad scientist. Absolutely not. Also, I was dead.
Yeah. And yeah, Ada, she really just wrote her out.
Yeah, because she was jealous.
I know. The whole Ada Fitz thing was so weird. Weird. But yeah, keep going.
Coulson was aware that he was remembering weird things about another life, and he didn't like his life as being a teacher under the Nazi regime. Because I remember, like, watching the scene. I loved it because this, like, one of the kids in his class was like, hey, but isn't Hydra Nazis? Weren't they in the Nazi science division? And Coulson's like, no, where'd you hear that? Absolutely not. It came from centuries ago. Anyone who's actually informed would know this. And you're like, oh, that's a thing a Nazi would say.
Right. Also, they kind of retconned the whole, like, century-old we worship a rock cult of just, like, these... Don't forget they were Nazis. They actually started because they were Nazis. The weird cult thing was just kind of convenient for our sake, but no, they were Nazis.
I mean, they were definitely Nazis, always. And they did that.
Yeah. You can do both. You can be a Nazi and an occult.
They did that, and then they aligned themselves with Nazis, which forever made them Nazis.
That's... Let that be known to anyone listening. Once you align yourself with Nazis, you will forever be a Nazi. Anyway.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what you did centuries beforehand.
So when I first watched this season with Mac, I remember just being like, no, they're not going to kill him. They're not going to kill him. If they kill Mac, mm-hmm. I'm going to be so mad. And then I thought they were going to kill Yo-Yo too because the framework started to dissolve. And Mac was like, no, I'm staying with my kid. I'm staying with my kid. Mm-hmm. I'm staying with my kid. Even though she wasn't real. And it's so heartbreaking because, like, everything starts flickering and Mac is like, it's okay, right? Baby, I'm going to stay with you, I'm going to stay with you. And then all of a sudden it pans out a little bit and, like, she's not there anymore.
She's not there. I was sobbing at this point.
Well, I genuinely thought that, like, Mac and Yo-Yo were going to stay there. Like, I thought mm-hmm. it was going to happen. I thought they were going to stay because I thought, like, Mac didn't want to leave and go to a place without his daughter. And Elena mm-hmm. was like, the only person I care about is right here. So why right. should I leave? Mm-hmm. But then, like, she wakes up, and then you have to wait, like, 5 agonizing seconds for Mac to also wake up, because you're like, mm-hmm. oh, God. And then he wakes up, and I was so, like, so relieved. Instant relief mm-hmm. watching that. Because I feel like on the back of Trip, even though this is now, like, 2 seasons ago... To kill Mac on top of that would be, like, unforgivable.
Truly. I know. I worry... Of everyone on the team, I worry about Mac's life the most. And, yeah, that scene was just, like, I don't know if we're getting Mac back. You really don't know if you're getting Mac back until he opens his eyes. But I remember I was mad at Yo-Yo during that final scene of whenever the world is glitching and they're trying to pull everybody out for the last time. And he's just like, no, I'm not going to leave my daughter. This is my world, so on and so forth. And she's like, this isn't real, blah, blah, blah. It's not your daughter.
Like, I
was mad at I was mad at Yo-Yo because he didn't know that. He really thought he'd
spent... No, he knew it. I mean, at that point... That it was fake? At that point, they had told him, they were like, hey, this is fake. And he had seen... Daisy and Fitz and Coulson and May and Gemma all go into the thing. Go through the portal into the real world. So he at that point knew. He was like, he knew it was fake. He didn't care. And like, they were with Radcliffe at that point, and he was like, no, Mac knows. He just would rather die here with his daughter than go live out there without her.
Oh, okay. But then, I remember I was mad at Yo-Yo and the way she was talking to Mac because like, come on, man.
No, I get it though. Like, I get why you're mad at Yo-Yo for like doing it the way that it was. But I also understand Yo-Yo's perspective of this, where it's like she's just jumping into the framework only to get Mac back, completely understanding that he doesn't want to come back because he like believes and truly feels as his daughter is there. But like, she really knows that that is not real. And, like, it's hard to... I feel like it must be so hard to conceptualize for Gemma and Daisy and Yo-Yo, who just jump in with all of their memories intact and none of the, like...
The framework memories.
To, like, really conceptualize how you can have such an attachment to a thing that's not real.
Right? Because also, I think the idea of when they got plugged in is, like, May is, you know, like... She's actually in her 50s, so she got plugged in when she was, like, you know, 50-something, but the idea of the framework is that she spent her whole life there, so yeah, they all have this lifetime of memories that just really mess them up, including Fitz.
Especially Fitz.
Oh, my boy.
My poor, poor boy.
Yeah.
So, he kills Agnes.
Yeah, he does. And not even in, like, a... This sounds weird, but not even, like, a medical scientific way. He just, like, point-blank shoots her in the head, which no one expected Fitz to be capable of doing.
Because I think that's the second you realize, like, oh, no, these are not the characters you know and love. Like, Ada's really, truly overwritten them.
Yeah, she was able... And also, the whole weird her whole weird crush on Fitz. She like totally she manipulated him and brought out the worst in him. Also, side note, weird. Agnes is the one Ada is based off of. Ratcliffe also had a thing he couldn't.
The only her, so look, like, the only like only the look is based off of. Yeah.
Yeah. The Darkhold completely rewrote.
It's basically Radcliffe's ex-girlfriend who was dying of cancer, and they broke up because he couldn't deal with the fact that she was dying of cancer and couldn't fix it.
Yeah. She's, but yeah, though, just seeing Fitz go completely, they call him the doctor because he's like the highest Nazi doctor you can imagine. He'll experiment on the Inhumans. He'll torture people. It's all in the name of science. And he's also like, all of his sweet devotion to Gemma is just like this twisted dark form for Ada. Like, he is madly devoted to Ophelia, and it's really weird to watch. Like, it's,
yeah,
it's so disconnecting.
I actually really love this trope of like seeing the good guy become the bad guy. Not like temporarily though. I don't want it permanent. Yeah. So I kind of really loved the trope of seeing that happen, because it was really, really entertaining to me to see this happen, and to have Gemma, who is completely aware of, like, who he is, and, like, the kind of love they share, and then, like, have her watch it happen. Which is so sadistic of me, but, like, not sadistic, that's not the word. Yeah, sadistic is the word when it happens to other people. It's so sadistic to me, like, of me to, like, think of it that way, but at the same time, it's television, and I love angst. Yeah,
right?
I love angst. I'm like an angst monster. If it happens, I'm like, yes!
Right? Also, another reason that this trope sold so well is because everyone involved did such a good job at doing it. Like, Fitz as going the Dark Doctor was really good. Gemma, she stayed the course, but she, like, you watched her suffer, and then, like, the actress who played Ada / Ophelia did a really good job. Like,
Agnes,
right? Like, one of the top villains of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, like, watching the three of them do this was really was really good. It was really entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when they... So, Ada's whole thing has been to create a real, live, human flesh body.
Yes.
So, they've been working together to create Ada's human flesh body on the other side of the framework.
Right. And Fitz doesn't know what he's doing.
He does. Ophelia told
him. He knows about the real world?
Ophelia told him. I think it was more of like a parallel universe thing. Like, not like a, hey, this world is fake thing.
Oh, okay.
It was more like, hey, there are two worlds, and on that side, awful things happen. Hydra did not win.
Right.
And the Inhumans run rampant.
Right.
Jesus Christ. So stupid. And then, like, on the other side of it, he's like, he knows that there's another side and there's an other world. I don't think he knows the very, very, very specific details of it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Because I do remember they get out of they get out of the framework, but it's not done. Like, the season's not done because
there's like two more episodes of them out of the framework.
Yeah, because they succeed. Ada's a real girl, but because of the way it was designed and like all of the weird twisted doctor stuff Fitz did, she has like three people's Inhuman powers, characters we've met
before. She has a bunch of Inhuman powers, and I really remember the second I saw her throw lightning, I was like, you bitch.
I know. Like, how dare you?
Because the first thing Daisy does when she gets her hands on a Hydra computer was look up Lincoln, and then he was, like, deceased in testing. And I was like, oh. Because when I watched that again, I was like, oh, no.
Right.
Because when Fitz comes back, he was like, I tested on people that we knew who are our friends. And you were like, yeah, you tested on Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the powers are Lincoln's powers, the guy with no eyes.
Yeah, the time, not time travel, teleporter guy.
Yeah. And something else.
There was a third one in there. Was it? It's not Robbie.
No.
I thought she had fire powers. Who was it? No, she had lightning powers. That's why I thought it was fire powers.
Maybe it was just the two.
Those are the handiest, not gonna lie. Put together, those are very good.
And the only person who can stop her is Ghost Rider because they're made of the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. But that happens. I feel like the worst part is watching Fitz deal with the aftermath. Because the only way he was able to go through was that Radcliffe tricked him. And honestly, saving grace of Radcliffe was that moment. Because the only reason they get to this like part of the framework where if as long as you pass through it, you get to the other side. And it's built right. into the framework, so Ada couldn't like get rid of it.
Right.
So Fitz is like, I'll get you a body on the other side as long as you, like, I know you're dead over there. So, like, if you do what I say, I'll make you a body on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Radcliffe is like, okay, they're off to this place. And you're like, oh, damn it, Radcliffe, of course.
Right.
You little piece of shit.
Right.
And then they're there. And then Radcliffe freaking knocks out Fitz's other bodyguard, takes the gun and points it at Fitz and is like, all right, give me your gun now, knocks him out and then pushes him over the edge to get right. out of the framework. And you're like, yes!
Because the entire time, you have no idea what side Radcliffe is on. He's only on his own side. He's on his own side at every point. But part of being that is, like, he loves Fitz. He really looks out for Fitz. To an extent, Gemma as well, but mostly Fitz. And I think he saw what his monster was doing to this poor boy, and he just, like, drop-kicked him
I think once he was in the framework and really was seeing what was happening, he was like, this was never my intention. I never wanted this to happen. Like, mm-hmm. Ada completely went overboard. I should have never done anything that involved the framework, or not framework, used the Darkhold. Like, this was all about the Darkhold. This is so stupid. And that's when he was like, I'm gonna... And also, because of this, Agnes is dead, so screw everything. And decided to, like, help Fitz. And, like, literally, he tells Gemma, he was like, this is the only way I knew how to get him here.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he got him there at all was because he was trying to find Gemma because Gemma killed his dad.
Yeah.
Which was kind of awesome, because screw that guy.
Yeah, his dad was awful. You can see, like, why Fitz is a better person without him and stuff like that.
And also, but I loved the moment. There is a moment in the show where Fitz yells at his dad, and his dad kind of does that thing that abusive parents do, was like, don't you yell at me, boy. Like,
mm-hmm.
and you were like, oh, so that still happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like the same person now, but, like, clearly the dad is like, you're powerful, but I'm more powerful than you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, based off of their relationship. And it's like, what?
Yeah, it was really bad. So we don't get too long, I really want to talk about how they're affected out of the framework.
Oh my god. It's only Fitz. It's only Fitz.
It's Fitz and Mac and May, to an extent, because the three of them were affected the most, because May, you know, whatever, they weren't real people, but she's like...
May?
The amounts of trauma she fought for Hydra. She was so, like, deep and loyal to Hydra, and she saw some stuff. She was a high level Hydra agent. She saw and did some stuff. She oversaw some of Fitz's experiments, because that's a recurring theme of just, like, only those two were in the room during some of the Inhuman experiments, and or whatever. They'll talk about, like, what happened here. It's like, oh, we experimented on them, and they only those two know what's happening. So, like, May has this trauma that she's had to live with, and she also she has, like, this split lives. They all do, but they all have this split lives of, there was times when I was in Hydra, and that's all fake, but it felt very real, and there's who I am now in the real world.
I feel like May is better at, like, separating that out and being like, no, that wasn't my fault, like, that, and also that wasn't real, so May. Like, I feel
she
like...
She still feels it, though.
No, I get that she still feels it, but I just think May is better at being like, it wasn't real.
Yeah, but it felt real. Like, the looks on their faces when they come out of the framework, when they realize, when their two consciousnesses, like, crash together.
Yeah, but, like, after that moment, you know, like, it's like that happens, but then after that moment, she's very much able to be like, all right, let's get into the thick of this. Like, let's take down Ada. Let's do this. And, like, maybe get in a relationship with Phil afterwards.
Yeah.
And Max is, like, totally mourning the loss of Mac, his child.
They all, to some extent, have PTSD. But, yeah, Mac is totally lost. Not lost, but, yeah, he's in mourning. Yeah. Intense mourning.
I mean, he does say that it was really great to have, like, that those time years. With her, though. Like, have those years with her and, like, be her father. And that's like, always going to be a part of him now. And that, in a sense, is, like, at least there's, like, some sort of blessing there.
Yeah, he was able to be a father for as long as he was able to. Or as long as he felt he was able to, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Fitz is just, oh god, that totally really messed broken. Him up.
Totally really messed broken. Him up. And like the fact that they get back and Ada's like, I chose you, now you choose me, and he's like, I don't love you, you psycho.
Yeah.
But and also she that wasn't gets instant. So mad.
Because Fitz is still, like, he's not sure who, like, his conscious crashing really got to him. So yeah. she thinks it's still, like, Leopold, but, like, no, it's Fitz.
He only wants to go back to
one person.
And that's Jem.
And that's when we lose Ada.
That's when we lose Ada / Ophelia / whatever the hell that was.
Yeah, we really lost her then.
Also, the fact that Coulson becomes the ghostwriter to trick Ada is awesome.
Oh, I forgot about that tiny moment. Yeah.
Yeah, he takes on the Ghost Rider because he's like, ah, let's do this. Like, because she knows that Robbie's the only one that can kill her.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a swap for a real quick sec. And yeah. they do that, and it was really, really cool.
It was cool. I forgot Ghost Rider does come back. He wasn't gone. Yeah. I knew he came back for Ada. I just couldn't remember at what point. It was at the very end. But also,
it was in the last episode.
Yeah. It was at a very steep price. Because you don't just, like, Ghost Rider is something you just pass.
Because Robbie is like, you know why he took the deal, right? And feels like, yeah, I know, but don't tell my team.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out next season why.
Yep. Yeah. And oh, God, next season.
And then the other big thing of the last episode is that they're all eating in a diner when they're getting arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything freezes, and some weirdo dude is like, take them.
Yeah, which I kind of loved that they went out to the diner to have, like, one last team meal, because they all knew.
They were about to get arrested. They all knew that
they're, like, the most wanted people on the planet.
Yeah. No, it was a really cute moment, because the lady's like, do you want some pie? And then the lights flicker, and they're like, all right, and then they all just, like, slowly put their hands up, which was kind of, like, fun to watch them pan across the bar, and they all just kind of slowly put their hands up. And then that scene ends, and then it just cuts Coulson waking up, going out to a window and be like, all right, enough sightseeing, and he's in space.
Yeah, speaking of cliffhangers, because this is also the point, we weren't sure if we were getting a fifth season. So with that kind of cliffhanger, I remember I was very mad.
Yeah.
I think maybe by the final season, normally by like the final two or three, four or five episodes, we know if we're getting next season, so maybe at this point we did, but I remember I was just
not sure if you were or not,
but also it's that kind of cliffhanger, which like, we just went through so much and now you're putting us in space.
Yeah, we have a lot of opinions about the next season, so
the next season's fun though. Buckle I loved
down
it.
Get ready to buckle down for that.
It's gonna be a ride.
It's gonna be such a ride.
Yeah.
Okay,
but again, we say it, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a little all over the place, but it still holds up.
Honestly, I remember people being like, this whole season sucked, and then I was watching, and I was like, this is a good season.
This is a really good season.
Who are you people saying that this show sucks? Do you just not like this show? Why are you still watching it, then?
Right? Yeah. No, I maintain... Honestly, just, like, once you get over the first half of season one, S.H.I.E.L.D. holds up. Agents holds up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that's it, right?
For now,
until the next season of Agents. Next week is Spider-Man.
Oh, that one's Homecoming?
Spider-Man Homecoming is next week.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've already recorded that episode, and you might be aware. I don't know. We've haphazardly said this across so many episodes. We're doing everything super early right now because of, like, me going on vacation and stuff. So next week, when you guys listen to Spider-Man, me and Lily are gonna be in Japan together.
I've lost all concept of time and space. But yes, we're gonna see each other for the first time in like 6 months.
Since like September.
October. Yeah.
September.
No,
I think.
Yeah, September.
Because I left
September.
In October.
Yeah. That'll be fun. Yeah, we'll be in Japan.
Japan. I'm excited. All right, guys. I'm excited. We'll be with you. Till the end of the line. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. You can follow the podcast at EMFangirls. And check out our website, Earth's Mightiest Fangirls. And shoot us an email at EMFangirls@gmail.com.
Thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us for editing and producing internationally.
Yeah.